You look at it and you decide who you think wrote that book. He was trying to help people to understand the salvation that they had. He was trying to help people to understand that they were people who needed salvation. They needed it more than anything else, and they had to have it. And what he wanted to do was to explain to these people how wonderful it was to be a saved person and what they had in that, so they could see that and enjoy what they had. So many Christians today live with their faces turned upside down. They live sad lives. They live guilty lives. I'm not trying to put guilt on you. I don't want to do that. But what we've got to do is to realize the joy we have because of the salvation that is ours. And so that's what we're going to study about in these first five verses of the book chapter 5 in Romans. And we want to look at these things and understand some reasons why we should be happy people. And happy people are people that are going to serve God and going to do the will of God and going to try to comply with what God wants them to do and do it with a smile on their face. Now, turn to Romans 5, if you would. And we're going to mainly stay there. In verse 1 of chapter 5, he says, therefore, he's already talked to these people about their salvation. If you know much about Romans, you know the first part of Romans is trying to help people to understand you're lost. Now, he's not trying to put a guilt trip on them. He's trying to tell them the truth. Now, we feel guilty because when we know we're lost and we're not doing anything about it, that causes guilt. But what should take away guilt is that we know that we're lost and we go find the one that can save us. And that's Jesus Christ. Therefore, because of all that He's done for us, because of all that He wants to do for us, therefore, having been justified by faith. We're those people that are justified. Now, what does justified mean? I think sometimes people misunderstand the word justified. Sometimes we get the idea that justified means that I don't ever have any sin on me. Let me tell you something. I wish I didn't. Don't you? But we do. Don't you still do things that are wrong? I thought you'd been justified. How can you do things that are wrong, but you're justified? What does the word justification mean? Now, I gave you a definition up here of justification: to count someone righteous, to look upon as righteous. That's the justification that we have from God. God looks at us as though we are righteous people. He looks at us as though we are people who are living the right kind of life. Because we have been those people that have been willing to say, I want to serve you, I want to do your will, I want to comply with your will, dear God. That's what I want to do more than anything else, and I'm going to live right. And so we are those people that are justified. Look at this. It does not mean that we are righteous. I wish it did. I wish it meant that I was righteous all the time, but I'm not. Well, now, how do we get all this? What is this idea of righteousness? And that we're people now that we're just perfect and we're living good and we're living right. And sometimes it's caused people that are Christians to look down on people in the world and say, well, I'm righteous. Why are you righteous? How did you get to that righteousness? How were you able to find the righteousness that you have? I want you to know that today. I want you to understand that today and understand the position of the righteousness that's yours and how God has blessed you and how what God has done for you. It is not because we are righteous people, but it's because righteousness is because God looks at us as though we're righteous. Now, how do you get that? You hear what He has to say, you believe that, and you do something about it. You repent of your sins. You're immersed in water to have your sins washed and cleansed away. And then you live in such a way as to serve God. Are you going to still sin? Yes. Do you want to? No. Does it make you feel bad when you do? Yes. Maybe that's the reason that Christians have such a long face and that we're known as people that are unhappy. Let me tell you something. You need to be a happy person. You need to be a person of joy. You need to be a person that you've got joy within your heart and within your life. Now, turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, if you would. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and this is a great thing. Listen to what it says here about our salvation. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Now, how is that hard to comprehend? Here, God made him, Jesus, who did not know sin, who did not sin, who was not a part of sin, he made him to be sin for us. Wow. That should make you feel pretty good right there. Look at what God's done. He's provided a way of salvation for you. Then it goes on to say, and help us to understand this. He knew sin, he became sin for us. That, the purpose word, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He saved us not because we were righteous. He saved us when we were enemies, when we were fighting against God, when we were going against God, when we were struggling against God. In fact, the Roman writer says that. We were enemies. We were fighting. We were struggling. We were going against God. But God still loved us when we were not righteous. Do you think he's going to love you today when you're trying to live right, but you make mistakes and you still sin? Let me tell you something. He will forgive if you will repent. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to feel guilty about that. If you sin and you repent, what's God going to do for you? Tell me. Forgive you. I mean, we need to shout that out. He's going to forgive us. And if he forgives us, are you forgiven? Yes, you are. Why are we worried about it then? Why are we worried about it then? We've got to be those people that we believe in Jesus Christ. We trust in him. Justification does not mean that we are people who do not sin, but it means that God looks upon us as those people that are living a righteous life because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for us. He's paid the guilt there. Now, look at this. We stand before God. I stand before God. Let me just get me in here. I stand before God. Here's the courtroom. God's the judge. The judge knows I'm guilty. Here's Jesus. Jesus knows I'm guilty. Here's the devil over there, and he certainly knows I'm guilty. And I know I'm guilty. Does that sound like a good outcome? The judgment needs to be given, and the judgment is given. Here I'm a person that I've obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I may not do the best I can. I sin from time to time, and things are not right sometimes with me. So I stand there as a one that's shaking in my boots because I'm figured I'm going to hell. I don't know how to say that, but to say it that way. And Jesus stands up and says, God, I'll pay a price for him. Isn't that what he did on the cross? Isn't that what he paid there on the cross for your sins? You know what the judge does? Here's the judge sitting there on his throne, and the judge says, you're free. You're free to go to heaven. You're forgiven of your sins. You're going to be in heaven. Now that's a judgment scene. What we've got to do is, am I right with God now? If you're not right with God, you need to get right with God. You need to do it now. Don't wait. Don't put it off. You need to do it now. So God can look at you as though you are justified, and please look at yourself as a justified person. My God looks at me and he doesn't see the sins that I commit. He sees me as a person, and those sins that I have committed that I repent of, I will not have to face again. Now, if I continue in my sinful life, I do not become a Christian, I do not repent of my sins, I don't have the blood of Jesus Christ. I've got to get it and I've got to keep it. We've got to understand this so that we can have the joy that is there for us. And so we're standing there before God and we know we're guilty and everybody else knows. You know, when I was thinking about this point, I thought about O.J.'s trial. Everybody in the country said, he's guilty, he's guilty, he's guilty. And I don't know if the judge felt that way. I don't know if, you know, both sides, prosecutor and defense, they felt that he was guilty. Most people felt he was guilty. When those jurors said, you are free, what happened? He was free. It didn't make any difference what other people think. Let me tell you something. I'm concerned about how other people look at me. But I'm not so concerned that I'm going to let them destroy my life. I may not live the best that I can, but I'm going to try to live as good as possible. And I'm going to repent of the rest. And I can stand before God as one that is justified. In fact, not only that, I am justified now. I have the benefit of that and all. Look at the benefit. I got to find this thing to punch it here. What are the benefits of the believers? We usually think of heaven, and that's a part of it, but that's not all of it. Now, look at this if you would. What's the benefits? Look at chapter 5:1, the latter part of there. We're justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a peace with God. I mean, we have appeased God. You see, before this, we were enemies of God. We were fighting against God. We were on the other side of God. But now we have a peace with God. I mean, listen, the war's called off. It's over. We're not in a battle against Him anymore. We have the forgiveness of our sins because of what we have done. That's what he says here. Because of this, we have a peace with God. That peace is something that is there for us. We have, and he goes on to talk in verse 2 here, through whom also we have assurance or access. Not assurance. Assurance is next. We have access. Could you imagine when the Jews read that? They were people, and we talked about this in Bible class, they were people that looked at as though if you saw God, you were going to die. I don't know where that's taught. I know it's read. I read it a couple of times that people have said that. If you see God, you're going to die. And the idea of a Jew having access to God where he could go to God and just talk directly to God was something they didn't understand. You see, they had to go through a high priest. And the high priest could only go into that holiest of holies one time a year. Do you realize today you don't need me as the preacher to pray for you when you repent of sins? Some people think that. You don't need that. You don't need the elders. You don't need anybody. Some of the women may say, well, we've got to have a man. No, you don't. You can repent of your sins. You can confess your sins. And you don't need a man at all. Now, that's salvation. That's what Jesus Christ did on the cross. That's the access that we have. I can go to God and I can say, God, please forgive me of my sins. And I want to repent of those things. Now, if I've done something so bad in the world that all everybody in the world knows about it, I need to let everybody know I've straightened it out. But I have the access to God, and you have the access to God, to go to Him. And we don't have to go through any priest. We don't have to go through anybody else. We just go straight to God. We go straight to the throne of God. That was something that the Jews, and maybe that was something that was so abhorrent to them, is part of the reason that they went against Jesus Christ. That's not what Jesus is saying here. He's saying you've got access, and that access for you is there to be with God. Now, we read Romans 8. In verse 7, where it talks there about how that we are those people that are enemies of God, well, we've become a friend of God. We have, as he already mentioned, peace with God. We have an access to God. We can go to God. He's our friend. God's not your enemy. God's not somebody to be afraid of. He's somebody that you can go to, and he will listen to what you have. He will help you any way you can. He'll tell you the right way to go. He's given you everything you need. What do you need? What do you need today to be a child of God? What do you need today to live the Christian life? Is there anything extra that God needs to give you? No. You got everything you need. Why don't we have it then? Why don't we have this joy? It's a little thing of we've got to have faith and we've got to trust in Him. We've got to depend upon God. And we have access to God. We can go to God and we can talk to Him. We're not any longer His enemy, but we are His friend, and we have been blessed in so many ways. Now look at this here. We have access to God. God has given us all those things. God's wrath is turned away from us, Romans 5 and verse 9. But not only that, look at it. Heaven is satisfied, 1 John 2 and verse 2. I mean, we're right with people. Then he goes on here, our enemies are now our friends. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and verse 18. Heaven is not against us. Heaven is for us. Heaven wants us to be there. God wants us to be there. Jesus wants us to be there. The Holy Spirit wants us to be there. And even people in this world want us to be there. They want us to be there. They want us to share in that, to share in that joy and happiness. And it's ours, and nobody can take it away from you. Now, you can give it up. You can say, I don't want it. You can walk away from it if you want to. That's your right. But why would you? The greatest thing that, I start to say the greatest thing in this world, but the greatest thing outside this world, too, is to have this access to God that we can go to Him. Listen to Colossians 1 and verse 20. Having made peace through the blood of His cross. That's what we've done. By Him, to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him. Now, look at this. God has made everything right because of the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. Nobody does deserve it. We didn't deserve God sending His Son. But God wanted to show us how much He loved us and how much He cared for us. And so here He sent His only begotten Son into this world so that we could have that access to God, so that we could be there with God, so that we could approach God. God wants us to have that. Why? Because of the blood. Because of the blood that was shed there. We have a peace with God. We have access to God, not because of any rituals that we do. I mean, the Lord's Supper is an important part of our Christian worship, but you can take the Lord's Supper until you die. And if you haven't been a person who believed, who was willing to repent and to confess and to be immersed in water and to strive to live the Christian life, it won't do you any good. Now, please don't think I'm saying anything bad about the Lord's Supper. Our singing, that's not going to get you into heaven. But it can keep you out. Now that sounds kind of hard to understand, doesn't it? There's no ritual, there's no law, there's no custom, there's nothing that can get us into heaven except Jesus Christ. And He said, I'll give it to you. I'll give you everything. It's yours. And it's not based upon what we have done, but it's based upon Him. Now, sometimes we in the church have a problem when people say that, because we think that means you don't have to do anything and all you got to do is believe and you live like you want to. No, the Roman writers already dealt with that. How shall we that are righteous live in sin any longer? He said, God forbid, we can't do that. We've got to live a righteous life because of what God has done. You look at all the wonderful gifts that God has given to us, all the things that He's blessed us with. And now, we're going to say, I'm not going to do what you want me to do. That's the silliest thing in the world. We're going to do what He says. Why? Because look what He's given us. Something we could not get. Something that we had to have. If we want to be with Him, if we want to be out of a place of pain and heartache, that's what we got to have. That's what Jesus Christ is trying to give to us. And so here we have that. We have access through Jesus Christ. We have access to Him so that we can go there and we can be with Him. We have the idea of going into the presence of God and knowing who God is and being able to serve God. But not only that, we possess an assurance. Now, I want you to look at this. Look, if you would, at chapter 5 again. We have an assurance. Verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory. And let's go back up to verse 2. Therefore, whom also we have access by faith into the grace into which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have an access. We can go before God. We're a person that we can go there. We have an acceptance by God, but we have an access to God. But not only do we have that acceptance and the access, we also are those people that we are people that we can stand. The idea of standing, you know, I think about some of these war pictures or soldiers, you know, the Indians in the movies, the soldiers in the movies where they said, okay, this is where we're going to make our stand. You're not moving. You're not going anywhere. That's strength. That's power. That's commitment. That's what God wants us to have. And so here we have this access. We have this the assurance. We also have the idea of this thing that we are there with God and we can trust in God and we can depend upon God and we are there with Him. How wonderful it is that we have that. Turn to Romans 8, if you would, verses 31 and 32. I really just go down to 34. Listen to what he says. What then shall we say? What can we say about this? If God is for us, who can be against us? See, these people were saying, well, that can't be right. And they were saying, no, if God is for us, if God is the one that says, you're forgiven, if God is the one that says, I love you, if God is the one that says, your sins are washed away, then who's going to go up against God and say, wait a minute, God, that's not right. Heard a fellow say that one time. He said, oh, no, God couldn't do that. I said, God can do anything He wants to do. Listen as he goes on in verse 31 here, or 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us. Now, how much does God love you? He loves you enough to give His Son. Is He going to hate you when you do things that are wrong? No. Will you have to give an account for it? Yes. But you see, we don't have to do that. We can go to God and ask God to forgive us, and God will forgive us as we're willing to repent of those things and turn from those things. We have this access. We have this way to reach God. We have this thing of being delivered because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, delivered Him up for us so that we could have these things. How shall he not with Him also freely give us all things? If He didn't hold His Son back, is He going to hold anything back from you? You see, we look at the idea, some people look at the idea that if you sin one time, God is ready to throw you out in the garbage. He's ready to cast you into hell. He's ready to throw you away. That's not the case. He's wanting you to repent. He's wanting you to turn. He's wanting you to come to Him. That's what He's wanting. I got to find out what time it is. Okay, it's time to be through, but I'm not finished yet, so give me 5 minutes. He wants this. Listen as he goes on. Verse 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who's going to bring a charge against God's people, saying when God says they're sinless? It is God who justifies, looks at us as though we are not those that are going to continue in sin. And He recognizes our sin, but He's willing to look at us because of what the Son has done. He's done that. Who is He that condemns us? Nobody. And He's given reasons why. Who is even at the right hand of God? That's that Son that came and died. Who also makes intercession for us. I mean, you just think about this. We've got one that is talking to God for us, interceding for us, helping us. Now, you just think about it. These three things that we're talking about here, we've got an access to God like nobody has ever had, really. We can go for Him as those people that are clean and right. We have an assurance of our salvation, and we're accepted. And we're those people also that we are those that are. We can trust in it. We can depend on it. We can depend on every bit of it, and we don't have to worry about it. The believer has many privileges, and those privileges are wonderful and great. Those privileges are wonderful, and we must recognize that. Our privileges that we have before God, and I'm just going to hit these. We are those people. Well, read Romans 5 and verse 3. I got to get that one in. Can't miss that one. I don't know if I'm going over. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. Now you just think about it. We're going to face troubles. We're going to face difficulties. What does troubles and difficulties do for God's people, the people that trust in God? It makes them stronger. It makes them depend upon God more. It makes them to trust in God in a greater way. Because we've got God that loves us. We've got God that cares for us. And we've got a God here that's going to try to do everything He can to help us to know the right way to go. We can trust in Him. And if you get nothing out of this lesson, get two things out of it. One, the joy that we have in the salvation that's ours as Christians and anybody can have it. It's not just for me, but it's for anybody. But not only the joy there, but we see here a dependence upon God and a trust upon God that is greater than anything that could ever be. We've got a God who really cares for us. And even in trouble, we're those people who can learn to trust in Him, can learn to depend upon Him, can learn to serve Him. And I didn't get through all this sermon, so y'all read the rest of it. It's kind of like eternity. It just keeps going on and on and on, doesn't it? I want you to know something. Know that God loves you. Know that He wants you to be happy. You don't have to be sad. You don't have to be drugged down by the world. You don't have to be drugged down by other people. But look at God and not everybody else. Look at God and you trust in God and you depend upon God. Because God loves you. God wants to forgive you. He's shown in every way that He wants to do that. He gave His only Son for you. Now, who else can condemn you? Don't condemn yourself. Repent of sins. I'm not saying, oh, you can just live any way you want to. No, if you don't repent of sins and you don't turn to God, you can't be saved. There is no other salvation except through Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. No other salvation. It's there for anybody. Remember that. We sing an invitation song, and it is a custom. It's not something we have to do, but I think it's a great thing for us to do. To sing an invitation song at every service to give people an opportunity to decide. This is not the only time that you can come to God. This is not the only time that you can become a Christian. But it's a convenient time for those people that are here. Please, you look at your life. God loves you. Jesus loves you. The Holy Spirit has delivered the message from God to us. We've got the message from God. We've got God's Word. Let's follow that. He says, if you repent, I will forgive. Please come right now as we stand and as we sing.